Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. My name is Melissa. I am a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I am a licensed special counselor associate. But most importantly, I am a child of God. It is good to be here this morning. It's good to be on the air this morning with this program from 8 to 8:30. I'm appreciative of any individuals that desire to call in, 347-945-5924, to speak about any topics that you would like to. We have an outline of what we want to talk about today. As I posted, we are talking about different things as we are in this giving season. Most importantly, we want to just say, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you as humble as we know how. Just wanting to say thank you for allowing us to wait this morning. Thank you for keeping us safe through the night. Thank you for providing for us, and thank you for everything that you continue to do in our lives. And as we go forward on this day, dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you continue to give us the wisdom, knowledge, and the instruction in order to live this life. I am Melissa. I believe that by this being our Thursday morning edition, it is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, LLC, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Our phone numbers are 704-333-2446 and 336-675-0075 are the numbers in which we can be reached. I am in transit into driving to Charlotte this morning. Glad to see the sun has come out. And let's see what else. Glad to see the sun after all of that rain. It is a little chilly. It's 42 degrees. But it is a nice day. It's not supposed to get any higher than in the 50s. In the 50s today, we got a pretty busy day ahead of us. It is a Christmas season, and there are different programs that are happening. My child's school today, they got the first graders and the third graders performing. It is really interesting. One of the songs that they're doing is The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Not really sure how that relates to the holiday, but that is their mascot, I think, now that I'm thinking about it, and they are supposed to be performing it. And I was laughing, and I was thinking, I love that song because, you know, I think it's a really interesting song if you've never heard it. It's by The Tokens. Of course, they have kids' versions of it. And it's a really good song. Look it up. And so I was playing the original version for my daughter, and they were entertained by it. It sounded pretty good. And they indulge their mother most times as we're listening to music. I have allowed my children to listen to different kinds of music. I've tried to expose them to different kinds of music. It doesn't really matter the genre. I just want them to, and then I do try to encourage them, those creative singing, dancing, things like that, because I think that both of them are pretty intelligent. However, I don't want them to be way, 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 way book smart and lose their creative abilities, especially as a young person, as your mind forms, if you become too analytical, you know, then you lose your creativity, and then you'll be way right or left brained. And I just really want them to kind of balance those things out. So I exposed them to that, and they were like, I just don't want to see that. And then I played the kids' version, and then I think it put it all together. And then I try to encourage my daughter to sing it, you know, because she has a really pretty, both of them have really pretty voices, and she wouldn't do it. which I was sharing that with the grandmother, and I was talking about how stubborn my child is. The other one is more compliant. She has some levels of stubbornness, and hers are a little out more outward than the other one. The one who is more stubborn prefers to do things on her own, the things that she's capable of doing. There are things that she's incapable of doing, then she desires assistance for that. And she quickly showed me that. And you try to encourage it. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, for our lesson, for what we are looking at today, in Proverbs, it speaks about wisdom, having wisdom. It speaks about knowledge, and it speaks about being instructed. And it says a wise man will listen and increase his learning. And there are individuals that, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on in the world, and we kind of just take things at face value and don't really know whether to react or respond to different situations, don't really know the full depth of what it is that we are experiencing. And it says that if we have any questions or anything to that effect, then we seek God and we ask him, and we ask him to show us or give us the wisdom, and that wisdom comes from experiences. And I don't really think that he meant for us to go out and experience every single thing in the world, because there are individuals who have already experienced those things. I believe that he wants us to take those examples and to see what, you know, see pretty much what we could have done different. Immediately as I'm saying that, I'm thinking about, there is a book called The 48 Laws of Power. Interesting book, 48 Laws, and what it does is it gives the law, it gives the application of the law, and it gives the transgression of the law. So basically it tells you what the law is, it shows you, it gives you a demonstration through a story of the application of the law, how the law works, and then it gives you the opposite and lets you know the conclusion of if you don't apply the law, then here's what will happen. Usually it's a negative response. And as I'm thinking about it, you know, we have God's word, we have the Bible. You know, you have different individuals who try to dispute the Bible, who try to say that it's man written, man given, man whatever. And that's all well and good. If you desire to go all into that. However, there is really nothing, no subject that you read. If you read the Bible as, say, a history book, then you read the oral history of, or you read the written history of the areas and the time frames that they are in. So if you read it that way, then you say, okay, well, here back in time, this, that, and the other happened. And if you say, well, it seems that that didn't apply to our current situation, well, it says there's nothing really new. So even though you just remove the time off of it, and then you apply it to the current situation. Like, for example, there are people who say, well, they didn't have drugs in the Bible. Well, they kind of did. They had wine, and they had the drinking of the wine when Jesus turned the water into wine, but they also had the wine that caused Noah to become so drunk that his kids looked upon him. And, you know, and then there was some disgust with that. So, you know, so what happens when a person drinks too much wine that they end up naked, and then their children begin to look upon them in disdain? They tend to be disrespectful. Or you have those that disrespect, and then there's a consequence of the disrespect, and then you have those that respect, and there are even consequences to that. So, yeah, they didn't have drugs in the Bible, but if a person uses too many drugs, and then it causes the children to disrespect them, and then that has an effect. And then if they use drugs, and then it causes a different effect when you continue to respect them because of who or what they are. So the situation may look or sound different, but the application of it is yet the same. And there's an application of the law that you honor that mother and father for their days will be long. Or if you choose not to do that, if you disrespect those people because of their behavior, then there's a consequence to that. So when you read the Bible that way, there lies your wisdom, there lies your knowledge. You have the knowledge of history. You have the knowledge of the right and wrong things to do. You have the knowledge of different morals and different situations. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, we're talking about what if you lie? You look in the Bible and you're concerning yourself with lying, being deceitful, taking advantage of, or things like that. Immediately you think about lying when Cain told God, now I ain't seen God, no, I haven't seen my brother. Or when, I'm trying to think, Jacob and his mother start to deceive their father and so that he can have steal his birthright. You know, they say that because of the two groups of Muslims even now are fighting because of those two brothers. That's just what they say. And so what is it? What did that cause? I cannot believe that. Anyway, I was thrown off because I was receiving a call from my train of thought. Wasn't really expecting to see an early morning phone call to come in from Raleigh. Anywho, so that created some bit of a distraction. But back to the wisdom and the knowledge that you can derive from the Bible. And so, you know, you have, there are some churches that teach the whole Bible, and there's some churches that teach the New Testament only, and there are some churches that teach only a portion of the New Testament. And this just all depends on the denomination. It all depends on the preacher. It all depends on his education. It all depends on, what he thinks that the church is willing to hear. And it said in the last days that people will be more concerned what will tickle their ear, what will make them happy or make them joyful or make them feel, like they'll teach prosperity, fail to teach, condemnation, or fail to teach it. If you, you'll say, well, they do the if then, they'll do the blessing. So, bless you'll be in your house, bless you going in, bless coming out. Like they'll do all of the blessings and forget that there are like 14 verses of blessings, but underneath the 14 verses of a blessing, you have the 56 verses of curses that says that, and then here's the thing, if you don't do what we say, and so you'll hear is, yes, God will bless me if I blah, blah, blah. But if I, if I just kind of allow things to happen in my life or allow, my family to do this, that, and the other, or allow my belief or just take what the preacher says and don't really, have any kind of confirmation or only read the Bible for what they demonstrate to you to read or only receive their own interpretation of the Bible and not know it for yourself. And without the preacher, be unable to hold on to the information on your own if confronted. Going to different Bible studies, and then, I get it, preachers, and as do I. We want to be organized in our thoughts. We want to be organized in how we present things, but we also want to allow the come into the situation, and if God comes in and turns it from the left or from the right, and says that you may need to speak on this, get that unction to do that, then you don't do that, then something happens or doesn't happen as a result of not doing that, then, then there lies your difficulty. And so you have the instruction, you have the word, and then if you fall into saying, well, I'm just going to only read the New Testament, then that's almost like saying that, the 1960s weren't important. Martin Luther King and civil rights or women's rights or slavery is unimportant. Why do we want to look at slavery or you know, why do we want to concern ourselves with a whole other ethnic group or whatever? That doesn't have anything to do with us. Kind of it does, because if you go to the foundation of all of it, we all tend to come from the same place. Or I have crosses. I've got a bookstore, a beautiful and gracious bookstore. That's named for my two daughters. And I have used books. I have study guides, Bibles, scriptural health books, scriptural management. But it's a pretty decent resource. Purchased a bookstore several years ago and had an idea of thought that, well, when I opened my store, that I was going to need merchandise. And I had an opportunity to have a bookstore, and I was blessed by that, and so I have all of these things, but I'm kind of hiding it because I'm in a building. I'm in a not in a retail site. I'm in a building, and I had these crosses. And, I was giving them away, and I had a young man, he was like, well, I'm Muslim. Well, I don't really get into all of that, you know. I was like, I mean, it's either yes or no. Either you want it or you don't. You know, it's not really, I don't really want to get into a religious discussion. But my response was immediately, really? Muslims, Christians, and Jews all worship at the same mountain. Muhammad came from the same mountain. Jesus was that, and as was, I don't know who the, Moses, I guess. So I was like, what are you saying? It's all the same when you go to the root of it. And that's just because I have that knowledge, and it's just because, you know, as I've dealt with individuals, you've got to be comfortable in your own relationship. And so I don't really get into all of that, but I do seek God for his wisdom in order to be able to deal with different individuals. And I am appreciative to have the different resources at hand to be able to do that, which is my last sentence, or my last, I've been studying in my writing, I don't know what to call it, because it doesn't really have a name. What it is, and I'm hesitating to say it because I'm trying to explain it in a short amount of time, because I tend to, you know, I get excited as I'm considering it, and I've been in the field of substance abuse, and as you probably have heard before, when I'm working with individuals that are desiring to be in recovery, is always, I really don't say, okay, well, you're in recovery or you're not in recovery. I just take for granted that everybody desires to live a better way of life than the one that is causing them to be in counseling or be in the situation that has brought them into counseling. So in the 20 years that I've been in the field, my original thought or vision came from when I was working at a detox facility when I was 23 years old, so we're talking 21 years ago, and I really had little idea about what I was experiencing as far as witnessing individuals that were had been under the influence of drugs and alcohol to the extent that I saw. Like, I was familiar with individuals who drank. I was familiar with individuals who smoked marijuana. I kind of had a general understanding of individuals that were using cocaine, but I didn't really know them like that. I didn't know anybody at all, period, that had issues with heroin at all. And but here I am, 23 years old, working in a detox facility and witnessing addiction in its full realm, seeing individuals coming in and out, suffering from the addiction. And what I saw with these individuals is, as they were coming in and out of the doors, I'm going by the police, as they were going in and out of the door, one of the things that I was seeing with them is they were, some had physical effects like withdrawal symptoms, some had mental effects like continually to relapse because of their situations and they're struggling. Some of them had emotional effects, you know, because they were saddened or depressed or angry or frustrated or whatever. And then for the most part, they were mostly spiritual because they had a clear path and apparently had lost their way. And that concerned me at that time. I always tell people when I tell the story that I was a little more saved then. Like, I wasn't listening to rap music. I, you know, was in the church. I was trying to live the best way I could. I had changed my life at the time. And so I began to observe these individuals. And the one thing that stood out to me was as they were coming in and out. And so I went to God and I said, God, what? Please, I understand addiction. I was taking different classes and attending different workshops, but I really wanted to know. And I wanted to say, you know what, you can just, you know, give it to God and Jesus can save you. But I worked for the government. You can't really say that out loud. So I went to God and I said, well, God, I can't say it out loud. So what will you have me to do? And one thing that he encouraged me to do is to listen. That was number one, most important. Just listen to them. And when I was listening to different individuals and they would share their stories, one of the things that they had in common was when they were younger, they began to experiment with the drugs and the alcohol for various reasons. And right then, I believe that it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, and dark places. And we messed that up. But anyway, so since we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, what are we wrestling against? Powers, principalities. And so I began to study at that time, and I began to consider what were some of the strongholds, or I didn't know what strongholds were, but what was it? And at the time I was going with individuals who were Pentecostal, some non-denominational, but more Pentecostal, casting out of demons and things like that. Born and raised in a Baptist church, you know nothing of that. If somebody gets the Holy Spirit, it used to be a lady, she like she was modeling and didn't know what that was. And then when I got to my other church, it was a man, he get the Holy Spirit, he started laughing. And that was very strange to me as a younger person. And then I began to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in other ways. So I started to look along those lines, and that was a knowledge that I didn't have, and that was a knowledge that I gained. And so I started asking questions, and I was given the scripture, the strong man, you know, the strong man must go out, and he will seek, and then he will return seven times stronger. And then I started asking what was the seven, and I was led to the idea of strongholds, and there are 16 of those. And so the book that I am writing is, since I've been in the field of substance abuse for as long as I've been, and as a Christian, and having that knowledge to say, okay, if the case is we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, we're wrestling against powers, we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness, which means that we're wrestling against Satan and his individuals, which then says, okay, so if there are legions of them, there must be legions, there are legions of God's angels, and there are legions of God's angels, and he also has a legion because he took a third of the angels with him. So in 20 years, I've been studying it, and I seek to put that together for almost to go as a comparison or with the help of the fourth step, because when I'm instructing individuals or sharing with individuals or in counseling with individuals, it always goes back to your earlier life affects your latter, because that you've invited these different individuals in. And so if you're calling out the name of anger, there must be an anger angel. If you're saying that there is frustration, there must be a frustration angel. If you have an addiction, there's an addiction angel. But the addiction angel, since there are seven of them, the addiction angel is a bondage angel, which is an emotional angel, which that's three angels right there, because the addiction angel is he himself, and then there must be other ones. And so, and what ultimately ends up happening is, since you're not wrestling against one angel, you're as Joshua was, or Jacob was in chapter 1, that was wrestling with one angel, and you are, and he had a hard time with the one. I mean, he was tired by the time he was done. You're not wrestling with just one. You're wrestling with many. The more you are in addiction, the more that you're, the seven that you're bringing with them, and they're not small, and they're not, and they're very powerful. But you also have God, and you have His warring angels, and so there are equivalents to the evil ones. If you have evil ones, and then you have good ones, do you have more good ones than you do evil ones? And if you don't, that's why you're losing. The battle is being, but the battle is already won because God did that. But if you have free will, then who are you allowing to live? And if you're allowing the evil ones to multiply in your life, then they're outnumbering the good ones, and they are fighting. And you do ultimately win. However, there is going to be a consequence of that battle. The consequence for the one that was wrestling an angel is his hip joint went out. But the consequence of the battle for those in addiction, it says sexually, you go from it being social problem, crucial to chronic, till you there are individuals that will die in it, and that is because that individual, they died. I mean, it's over. They won. They took the body over. Free will. At no point was the individual able to stop them, and then they died. Prayerfully, they were able to get themselves right with God to the end. But if they were not, then that's unfortunate. That means that Satan received more. And so, I just as a counselor, as an educator, as an individual that seeks to want to help people to live. To be on this side and to live, and when they die, to go with God. As a person that desires for myself to go with God and desires for my family to go with God, then I desire for other individuals to also go with God if they are able. And so the education, the wisdom, the knowledge, and so I'm writing, and that's kind of where I am with that. And we only have a few more seconds left, so we just want to thank God for allowing us this opportunity to come together and to hear more about God's word. God, we just thank you right now. We just continue to pray that you go with us as we make it through our day and allow every experience, every opportunity, every situation, every circumstance to be one in which we'll glorify you. And we just thank you for just providing for us continually and just keeping us strong and keeping us safe in the midst of all that we are going through. Just cover my home, cover my car, cover my business, cover the individuals that I come in contact with, cover my family, cover my kids, and just cover me, God, right now in the name of Jesus and all those who are under the sound of my voice. Please don't hesitate. Call in on Saturday morning, 8 to 8:15. Have a good day.